When it comes to reading for advanced students, I recommend reading from lots of different sources. You know, read from a fake book, read from a classical guitar book, read from jazz fake book, read everything you can get your hands on. Just keep reading, you know, and learn to read in different positions. There's tricks about you look at the lowest note and the highest note of a piece and the key, and then determine like your overall position where you might stay. You might go out of that position for certain phrases, but the position would be your default place that you're gonna play the piece in. If the piece moves around to different positions for different parts of the tune, you could even write the fret numbers over it. That's what I used to do when I did Broadway shows. I would write Roman numerals above the phrase to remind me that the easiest place to play that particular phrase is in this fret area. When it comes to soloing for advanced players, a few different things I find. One is they generally don't know about other modes, other scales besides the basic major and the pentatonics. Like, for example, harmonic minor. Now, I'm not a, you know, heavy metal player, so this is not like my bread and butter. I use more melodic minor. Like, it might be something like a... You know, those are very cool. And not only the scales themselves, but the modes that derive from those scales. Like, let's, while we're on melodic minor, there's lots of different fun modes. Let's just choose the supralacrian or altered scale. The altered scale is the seventh mode of the melodic minor. So in this particular case, I played C melodic minor, which is the same scale as B7, like over a B7 altered chord. So suppose you had E minor and B7 is your chord progression. So I might play E Dorian over the E minor. So now over the B7, I'm gonna play C melodic minor. It sounds really cool. Listen to that. And there's so many possibilities. That's just one. Let's go back to harmonic minor. So the one I played before was C melodic minor. C harmonic minor. So if you take, let's say, the fifth mode of that, based off G, now you have... it sounds like the Snake Charmer mode. And you could have a progression like... You know, advanced players don't usually take advantage of those easy, fun modes. Another thing advanced people don't do enough of is milk the expressive elements that they already know for all they're worth in every phrase. To make the actual phrase sound great is not that hard if you just pay attention to the elements you already know. Like, for example, slides. A bunch of different types of slides. There's bends, of course. There's vibrato. So, and then it's a question of combining them together. There's double stops. So many different things. There's rakes, there's hammer-ons and pull-ups, there's, you know, legato type playing, like I just said, there's double pick notes. There's palm muting. There's a lot of different stuff. People don't usually put those things together. None of those things are really hard. Most advanced players know those things. They just don't put them together. Like, I was trying to do a phrases where I did a lot of different elements combined, slides and hammers of pull-offs and vibrato and bending. And you just put it all together and it sounds, you know, sounds expressive, right? And those are the two big areas for advanced people. I also hear people not knowing how to build a solo, which we don't really have time for today. And we also don't really have time for integrating ear training with the phrases, like integrating ear training with their fretboard knowledge. The holy grail, in my opinion, I have an article on this if you look it up, Dennis Wing, holy grail of music. It says that the holy grail is being able to hear an idea and know where it is on the fretboard and then be able to execute it. So that's something that advanced people don't do enough of. And there's a whole nother section on aural skills that's coming up, so we'll talk more about ear training then.